about this band? Man, I tell you what. And what a great song. It said it's by a guy named Martin, but it's really Bono and the Edge leading that thing. And the lyrics to this song, I mean, we're the people we've been waiting for. We're the people with the open hand. We're going to build back, you know, better. We're the people we've been waiting for. We're going to dig into what this means and what this means for us. So excited you're here. My name's Kurt. If we haven't had a chance to meet, it's great to meet you. And if you're here for the first time, certainly hope it's your first time of many times here at Crosspoint. Let's make some noise for those tuning in online. Crosspoint Online, YouTube Online, Crosspoint On Demand. So good to have you guys join us from wherever you're tuning in from this weekend. And before we get started into our topic, real quick thank you I want to share with my wife, Julie, in fact. You know, my wife has been, for the last 14 years, leading our kids' environments here at Crosspoint. And right from the beginning, she's shaped the teams and the leaders and the environments and what happens in those environments. She also works in our public schools as a teacher development specialist for a full-time job. And in this season, as that is requiring more of her and things here are requiring more, it's a season where she's going to be stepping out of that role and at least actively leading our environments. She's still going to be here to consult with our teams. But I know for me, all of my kids have gone through Crosspoint Kids, every single one of them. They're up now in students or higher or college. And our environments and the leaders, the vision, and the hundreds of volunteers that work back there have just made an enormous difference in my kids' lives. I know probably in yours as well. So I know you'll probably want to thank her like I do. So let's just thank Julie for all the ways she has served us and our team and equipped our kids. And we've got a fantastic team back there. So don't worry. We've got a team that's going to continue to serve until we've been in the hiring process for some time. And as we land that, they will be in good shape back in Crosspoint Kids. Now, the day we told the truth, who's a little nervous? Like, woo, I'm not sure what we're talking about. Who's intrigued? Who's leaning in a bit? And you're like, oh man, this caused me to lean in. I hope you're leaning in. We're going to have an unfiltered talk about where we are, who we are, and who we're here for. And just like with any organization, I think it's helpful, especially when it comes to churches. There's a lot of brand of churches and a lot of expressions, and churches are known for a lot of things. And I've just had this growing sense over the last few months that it'd be really, really helpful to spend a few weeks on this, telling the truth, honestly, as unfiltered as I can about what we're about. And I really hope it's clarifying, maybe even inspiring and enlightening as well. But you know, at a high level, what if Jesus didn't come to start any kind of a nice feel-good religion? I mean, what if he actually didn't come to start a religion at all? And, you know, what if it wasn't all about the Bible studies and the, you know, the worship experiences and inspirational talks and, you know, all the spiritually crafted events? I mean, those are the mediums we use in the Western American culture. You know, and yeah, I don't know that Jesus is really married to anything we do as a medium here in our Western culture. In fact, when we look at his life and his ministry, we simply just see that he is over and over and over again for one thing. And that one thing he's for is for people. He's for flawed, imperfect, broken people who are looking for something more. And so today, I want to talk about how that intersects where we are and how that informs our purpose here at Crosspoint. And I want to try to be uber clear and as clear as possible and truthful about what we're really about. And purpose really informs what we do, but it also informs what we don't do and the things that we don't take stands on or don't, you know, engage with. In fact, I love how Joey Ryman, how he talks about purpose in his book, this book called The Story of Purpose. He talks about how purpose is like the opposite of gravity. Gravity pulls things in, but purpose pushes things out, and how purpose is actually expansive. It actually requires us to go out beyond ourselves. And then he kind of gives this definition. He says, purpose is where businesses, or in our case, organizations, distinctive gifts intersect with the needs of the world. And I love this because this like gives us daily marching orders. I mean, this isn't just something that goes on a website or on a wall in the office, but this is like, this like dictates how, our direction, the things we do every day, and how those things actually lead us to destinations and lead the people we serve to certain destinations. And so today, again, I just want to try to be as truthful as I can about the purpose of Crosspoint, kind of pull back the curtain. I'm going to tell you all kinds of stories and really do my absolute best effort to try to help us and inspire us to what this place is about. So here's our purpose. If you don't know our purpose statement or if you've not heard this, maybe you have, you just didn't know it. We're here simply to help people find their way to God. All right, period. I always say that, period. I was talking to somebody the other day that we were in a process of considering them for a staff position, and they said, well, what about this and that? I'm like, well, we're here to help people find their way to God, period. And she was like, I love that you say period after that. I'm like, I do. I mean, there's a lot of things we'd be about, but that's our purpose. In fact, when Crosspoint first was being birthed in our hearts, Julie and I were sitting around and we were contemplating, you know, could there be a different kind of church? Because we had a lot of friends who were turned off by church, and we would talk with them about God and faith, but the moment the word church came up, literally, I kid you not, their eyes would glaze over and they would disconnect. And so we just wondered, is it possible to create a place that's centered around the person of Jesus that gets rid of some of those things that, you know, church has taken on, or people who are disillusioned with church? And that kind of became the birthplace for Crosspoint because of some of our friends that we were just really burdened for. And one of my friends who lived next door, Mindy, she said, you know, at the age of 12, I decided I'd never go to church a day again in my life. And I thought, man, I wonder what happened to cause her to have such a disillusionment with church. So when we just kind of felt nudged to go ahead and begin to pursue this, I said to my neighbor, I said, hey, would you sit down and talk to me about this? And she said, absolutely. What do you want to know? And so I just became a student in that moment, began taking notes. I said, tell me why at the age of 12 you decided you would never go to church again in your life. And so she said, well, there's a lot of things, and I'm just writing them down. She said, for one, why do they always have those hard seats? You know, like, don't you think if you actually want people to come and enjoy it, you would put, like, comfortable, like, enjoyable seats in? Right? You guys enjoy the comfortable seats? Right? Like movie theater seats, right? And I'm like, yeah, right? Like, I can't stand that either. I've done that my whole life. And she said, you know, another thing, I hate how, you know, you have to get all dressed up for church because, like, we didn't have much, and it just really showed the chasm between those that had and those who didn't. And so I really felt self-conscious about going to church because it seemed like a fashion show. I'm like, yeah, I hate that too. And she said, you know, I don't understand why, if, like, people really want us to know about God, why do they never talk in a language that we can understand? Why do they use all these big, you know, churchy words? I'm like, I can't stand that either. And then she got to one that really kind of hit a nerve with me. She said, and you know, people go into church and they're all, woo, like, all hands up and, oh, Jesus, Jesus, and I'm all about Jesus. And then when I run into them during the week in the community, like, they're not living at all the things they say they believe when they're inside the walls. I'm like, oh, I can't stand that either. In fact, I think that's one of the biggest issues with people who generally don't walk into our churches right now. And so as a result of that, the Crosspoint was kind of birthed. We said, what does it look like for us to create a place to help people find their way to God? And so I want to dissect this statement today into three kind of parts to help us better understand. I want to start at the end, the to God part, because this says a lot about what we believe, and it also says a lot about what we choose to do. Because see, here at Crosspoint, first and foremost, we believe we're created to love God. God created us to love him and to love others. In fact, if you were to go to our website, we've got these things called hills, or our values, if you will, and these drive what we do. These are the first two you'll see. And this comes out of a moment where Jesus was asked by some of the religious leaders, hey, Jesus, could you sum up, like, all the laws and the prophets and everything that's ever been commanded? Could you just, like, put that into one statement, you know, so it'd be a lot easier to follow along? And really what these leaders were doing is trying to trap Jesus. And Jesus thought for a moment, and I love this because he's always the smartest person in the room. And he stood back and he said, hey, why don't you try this one out for size? How about just love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and without even taking a breath? And he went on, he said, and the second is the same, love your neighbor as yourself. Like, you can't separate the two. And it was just a brilliant, amazing response. Love God, love others. And at the same time, this infers something about the person of Jesus right here, because if you look at his life, one of the things you begin to see is that Jesus' whole life is about helping us to see the heart and the character and the love of a heavenly Father who runs after us, who pursues us every day, every moment. He runs after you. But not to, like, punish you or to strike you down or to catch us doing the wrong thing, which a lot of people believe that's actually what God's all about. In fact, every now and then I'll be out in the commons, you know, between services or before, and somebody will walk in and do this number, just kind of, and I'm like, that's usually a pretty good sign. They've never been here before. Like, they're like, whoa, church has changed a bit. And so, you know, I'm like gravity to those people. I'm like, hey, you know, welcome, and it's your first time with us, and, you know, we'll find a little of their story, and somewhere along the lines, they'll say something like, hey, good news, lightning has struck yet. I'm like, yeah, it's good. It is good. We'll laugh about it. But it tells me something. That tells me that they see God as someone who's out to get them, somebody who's out to catch them. Perhaps this is one of my favorite writers in the biblical narrative is a guy named the Apostle Paul, which we find in kind of the back half of the New Testament part of the Bible. And Paul, he's somebody that if you're kind of new to church or you didn't really grow up with church and you're like, yeah, I'm like late to the game. Like I didn't have all that church stuff growing up. Paul's your guy because he didn't either. He actually was against Christians. He didn't grow up in a home that like followed Jesus. He actually was actually arresting Christians. He was a rule follower, a legalistic, like this for that, eye for an eye. I mean, he was all about like, you know, fair game and, you know, everything should be fair. And I mean, he was just a guy that he didn't know what grace, you know, was about. And he was actually in his adult life trying to squash the whole movement of what Jesus was doing in the world until one day he actually experienced the scandalous, you know, nature of a grace that he didn't deserve. And he all of a sudden just grasped it for maybe the first time, oh my gosh, this changes everything if this is really true. And so he began to change his direction. He actually began to embrace Jesus. And instead of putting Christians in jail, he's actually now writing and encouraging Christians and following. And he says something in his first letter to the Corinthians, these Christians in Corinth. He says, I have become all things to all people. Translate, I'm going to interact with people and I'm going to be whatever they need me to be. I'm going to be a chameleon. If they're not overly religious, I'm going to talk to them like I'm not overly religious because I can do that. I'm going to do whatever it takes to blend into my surroundings. Not because I don't have convictions, but I'm just trying to relate. Yeah, I do this all the time. I try to like not blow my pastor cover, you know, because sometimes like, or keep my pastor cover undercover. Because, you know, sometimes like the moment I'm like, hey, I'm a pastor, I might as well say, hey, you know, you're a sinner and you're going to hell because like people just go away. And so I just don't lead with it. Friends sometimes are like, man, I didn't know you were a pastor. I'm like, yeah, well, I mean, there's a time for that to come out. But Paul, he's like, hey, I've learned to build and navigate relationships with people who have nothing in common with church people. And of course, some of us are like, why would you do that? It sounds like a lot of work. Well, Paul tells us, he says, I've become all things to all people so that by all possible means, love that phrase, what an amazing phrase. By all possible means, meaning whatever it takes, even if I'm misunderstood, even if I'm mistreated, basically, I'm less interested in lifting up some kind of religious tradition than I am helping people see that God's love and character is relevant to their lives. And then Paul kind of reveals his motivation for this whole thing. It's kind of this Great Commission-inspired mission right here where he says, so that by all possible means, he says, I might save some. Meaning he's referencing Jesus' last instructions before he ascended into heaven, where Jesus kind of like one time came around one more time and said, hey, in case you missed it all, in case you didn't get it, he's like, here's your marching orders. Therefore, he says, because this is like the end. He's like, in light of everything I've told you so far, in light of everything that we've talked about yesterday and the day before and over the last 3 years, therefore, here's what you're to do. I want you to go. I want you to make disciples, meaning I want you to help people discover what it looks like to know me and follow me and put their trust in me. I want you to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It'll be a sign that they've turned their life to me. I want you to teach them. I want you to model. I want you to display for them what it looks like to obey everything I've commanded, not so they can be rule followers. That's not the goal. But because when they follow my ways, life is just so much better. And I know that's a lot. And so if you feel like you're not fully equipped for that and you don't have all the skills for that, just remember, I'm going to be with you. I'll be with you to the very end of the age. Paul's like, whatever it takes, by all possible means, nothing's off limits. I'm going to do whatever I can to remove barriers to help people find their way to their Heavenly Father. A few weeks ago, on a Thursday evening, there was a grandmother that came out and talked to me after service, and she said, you know, you're teaching the children wrong, and I thought I misunderstood her. And I said, excuse me, I didn't quite hear what she said. And she said, you're teaching the children wrong. I'm like, oh, okay, tell me more about why you might think that. And she wanted to share with me that her grandson was here on a Thursday, and he said, well, if I go to church Thursday, I don't have to go Sunday. And she said, that is wrong. She says, Resurrection Sunday is Sunday, not Thursday. I'm like, well, technically, you're actually right. I mean, if we're going to get real technical. And so technically, she was right. And this wasn't a hill I was dying on. I'm like, I'm just trying to be like, oh, I understand. And, you know, we see it a little different. But, I mean, technically, you're right. I mean, but we're just trying to remove barriers. I mean, if people connect on Thursday and, you know, they're busy weekends, this helps, we'll do this. And so, you know, we went on. It's not a big deal. Later in the week, I talked to one of their family members, came and apologized to me. It's like, hey, I heard that one of our family members was kind of rude to you last weekend. I said, oh, it's not a big deal. And they're like, well, we thought it kind of was. And I said, nah, not a big deal. She's like, well, she told me that she told you you weren't a good preacher. I'm like, oh, well, we didn't cover that part of the conversation. I said, but technically, she's actually right. I'm not, because listen, I'm not a preacher. The last thing people in our world need is somebody to preach at them. I'm here simply to inspire people, to help give a picture of what the heart and the character of Heavenly Father who loves and pursues them really is. You know, this brings us to the second part of our mission statement. We're going to go back to the beginning. So I want to go to the first part. We're here to help people. We're here to help people. What does it mean to help people? What does it mean to put the needs of people ahead of your own? It really means that what's good for people is really what's good, as opposed to our religious agenda. Because what's good for people at the end of the day is really like good for people, right? To be for people, to be for adults, to be for kids, to be for students, to be for our community, to be for married people, to be for single people, to be for engaged and dating individuals, to be people who are trying to figure out how do we do our lives together, all right? To be for the marginalized community, for the overlooked, the underserved. Listen, to be for the LGBTQ plus community. I get 1 to 2 emails every month. Somebody says, hey, is Crosspoint gay friendly? And I respond to everyone. Apparently, they don't get a lot of responses. And I respond to everyone. I said, and often there's a question like, can you tell us your position? I'll say, listen, we don't have a position, really. We just believe church is for everybody. In fact, we believe everybody, regardless of your sexual orientation, gender identity, you know, racial, ethnic orientation, wherever you fall, we just think church should be for everybody. We believe everybody needs a place to work out their faith and have a community where it's safe to do that. We're simply here for people because we see Jesus being for people. I ran across this adage, this old adage this week that just really got my attention. I can't get my mind off of it. And maybe you've heard it before. It says this. It said, be kind, for everyone you meet today is fighting their own battles. As I thought about that, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's really true. Everybody I talked to yesterday and the day before, actually the entire week, every single person's like fighting their own battles. And not just this past week and this past even month, but like I think in this past year, every single person I talk with is fighting their own battles, and you begin to realize how powerful it is to just simply be for people. One of my favorite moments in all of the Gospels is a moment where Jesus is interacting with a bunch of people, and we find an episode in Mark's Gospel account, which really is Peter's life story. Like Mark sat down with Peter and said, hey, can you tell me exactly what took place? I want to make sure I get all these moments when you were there with Jesus. And so in the Gospel of Mark, here's what he records. He says, later Jesus and his disciples were at home having some supper with a collection of disreputable guests. I'm like, what qualifies for being a disreputable guest? Have you ever wondered, like would I fit into that? who sets the character traits for being a disreputable guest? But apparently some of them were disreputable. And then he goes on, he says, and unlikely as it seems, more than a few of them had become followers, like followers of Jesus. And I'm like, wow, like what is going on right here? It just kind of begs the question, like what's happening? Like one, who gets to decide who's a disreputable guest? And then two, it's just interesting. They said more than a few of them. I mean, not all of them, thank God, but I mean, more than a few of them became followers. And I'm like, what is going on? Apparently there was something about Jesus that we need to understand here about his character. Mark goes on, he says, the religion scholars, the Pharisees, saw him keeping this kind of company, and they lit into his disciples. What kind of example is this, acting all cozy with these misfits? But then Jesus, overhearing this, shot back, who needs a doctor, the healthy or the sick? I'm here inviting the sin sick. Meaning, I'm inviting those who are kind of sick of themselves. They're kind of sick of constantly blowing it, constantly like getting themselves in situations where things just kind of fall apart. I'm here for people who are kind of sick at how they just can't seem to get it together as hard as they try, and they're so frustrated with not hitting the mark, and yet they know it. I'm here for that group of people, not the spiritually fit. Have you ever been sin sick? Like I have. I've been sin sick. Where I know I missed it, where I know I missed the mark, I know I created the damage, I know I blew up the relationship, I know that my behavior or my words contributed to the thing that created all this pain and all this disruption. I mean, I know what it means to be sin sick. And let me just say, if you know that, then let me tell you a little bit about yourself. This is a place that's for you. We're here for people like you. We're here for people like me. See, Jesus not only had a heart for this, He knew they were missing the mark. I mean, he welcomed them. He actually created space. He was intentional to say, what can I do? How do I break down the barriers, the walls, so you don't get all hung up on our religiosity and you miss the character of our Heavenly Father? If you consider yourself disreputable, then he's like, I'm here to help. I want you to know, he's like, I'm flat out. It may be one of the most scandalous truths that you might hear out of this place. We're actually here for people like that. We're here for all people, for all humans. Had the chance to connect with a guy that recently came to Crosspoint, and then he and his family just moved to Dallas, Texas. And as I began to hear some of his story of just what this place meant to him, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so encouraging to me. I thought you might be encouraged by it as well. And cool thing is they're still connecting with us because of the virtual experience. So I want you to take a listen here to Savitri and Cameron Jones' story through Cameron. Take a look at this.
I'm originally from Los Angeles, California. My wife is from Champaign, Illinois. I went to school in Virginia, and she was in Champaign, Illinois. We met on New Year's night, 2015, at a New Year's party. There was 12,000 people there. Never thought that I would come across anybody like her. Started just talking to her that night and found out she was the most amazing person ever. We did long distance for about a year until my job relocated me to Indianapolis, Indiana. We started off in Noblesville, then I moved to Avon, then I moved to Geist, then I finally found my way in Fishers. So I visited a lot of churches in Indianapolis before I found officially a church home. I was referred to Crosspoint by a coworker of mine who relocated to Florida. You guys did you guys baptized him and his wife, and we just decided to go and visit. We just decided to go and visit the church, and the opening impression was how welcoming you all are. It's just as far as the welcome team in the front. You know, the police officers there, you feel safe. You walk in, the welcoming, the coffee, the water upstairs, and then the technology for the check-in. There's a lot of churches that just don't have the technology, or they don't have the manpower or the bandwidth. And those are things that we looked into. I think we came in and the praise and worship team did a cover band song of somebody who I wasn't expecting. I don't remember exactly who it was. I think it was like Bon Jovi or it was something. And I was like, what is going on here? So it was a guy who he was singing. And then was another praise and worship song right afterwards. And then you had your host come up and he was doing almost like stand-up jokes. I think it was Eric. He had a whole stand-up monologue going. So we were laughing. So we just went through all these emotions in the initial 10 to 15 minutes walking in, from, you know, safety to welcoming to laughing to worship, you know. And in the first 10, 15 minutes, you kind of get a warm hug almost. And I don't know if that was the coffee or if it was actually just the people in there, but we got a mix of both of those. And then, you know, you came up with your message, and it was really uplifting and powerful because of just the production of it all, the thought behind it, everybody kind of doing their own parts, working together. And as a church, I haven't seen a body work that way. Like, you know, we described the church as a church body. It was, you know, you have the head, we have the legs, we have the arms, we have the heart, we have the spirit. And that's kind of how it felt. So we wanted to know if that was real. Like we came back just to know if that was just a good Sunday, or does this happen all the time? And just consistently going to the nursery staff, you know, starting to love on our kids and helping out our kids and making sure that it was an enjoyable experience. That was really tough for us, having 2 1-year-olds, you know, letting them go somewhere where we can't see them and we don't know these people. That was a safety thing. And after COVID, you kind of get that, you know, just weird. Are these people sick? Are these people safe? And so it's Crosspoint just checked all those boxes. So that was the first part that we really enjoyed. The part after that was just the fellowship. We were invited to the March Madness thing where we had the food trucks and we had, you know, El Emporium coming. And, you know, then we were doing giving for backpacks for, you know, kids in a third world country. So there were just all these extra added elements that how everybody was working together was kind of what kept us coming back. After about 2 months of seeing if it was real, we decided to become members, started giving to the church and tithing. And then in the same couple of months, we realized that we can christen our kids there. So we ended up doing the christening with Cross Point, recorded it, have videos of it. And now our kids are a part of it and they were looking forward to it. So it was just God working within our family. We didn't know anything, how it was supposed to be or how it was before. We just saw how it was on a day to day, on a Sunday to Sunday, and realized that's the energy that it came with. One of the cool things that we did realize about Crosspoint is how we could invite our friends and family to the church. Previous churches that we went to, we didn't feel as comfortable with inviting people just simply because it was sometimes stuffy. At church, it can sometimes feel like an obligation on coming rather than, we're really trying to help them or assist them. But the welcoming staff, the fun, the experience that you guys kind of put on every time, kind of opened us up to that during the altar call at the end, and just the explanation of during the service. It didn't feel forced by any means. It didn't feel it wasn't a high pressure situation, or you have to make a decision today or sign right here, or if you're not a member, you can't enjoy what we're doing. I think it's an infectious culture is what I would call it. I think it's something where it's yearned for. I think there's a lot of people looking for it. I want everyone to know this is the best thing cooking in Indianapolis. This is what you come back for. This is what's great for the community. This is great for you as a family, you as a person. Like, we can go through so many people in the church, their situation, how they came to Cross Point and where they are. But, I'm a proven testament that this is the best thing in Indianapolis. Like, I enjoy it, and I miss it, but now I'm glad I can get it virtually.
Let's thank Cameron for sharing with us. How fun is that? Cameron, Savitri, we're glad you're tuning in from Dallas, and just know our love is coming out your way. Man, there's so much right there, right? So much you just said about how this community came alongside he and his family when they landed right here in our backyard, literally. Third part of why we're here is we're here to help people find their way. Now, this is, again, maybe one of those super truthful places. If we're going to help people find their way to God, one of the things we have to recognize is this isn't our journey. This is actually your journey. This is their journey. But we all have a journey to God. And our role here at Cross Point is we're here to cheer you on. We're here to, support you. We're here to champion, clap, stand alongside and behind and underneath, and really to encourage you. In fact, I love what Truett Cathy says about encouragement. I don't know if you know Truett Cathy. He created like this infamous chicken sandwich with two pickles. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like, founder of Chick-fil-A. And he says, do you know how to know if somebody needs encouragement? If you're asked that question, how do you know if somebody needs encouragement? All right, you might go, well, I mean, they look down, they look a little downtrodden, a little depressed, a little discouraged. Maybe they need a little encouragement. He says, no, it's a lot easier than that. It's actually really easy. Here's how you know. He said, basically, if they're breathing, which is all of us. Last weekend, I was really kind of humbled because one of our friends that we've been getting more and more connected to showed up here at Cross Point for the first time. And I kind of had a heads up that he might be here, and I didn't understand until, he came that he'd been tuning online a few times before. And man, I tell you what, I just get overwhelmed when people trust us enough as friends to actually come and show up. And later that day, I ran into him again because he's bringing his kids to CSM, and he said, man, Kurt, I just want to tell you, like, there's some things that really landed with me, and it was just such an encouragement. Kind of lifted me up. I thought, we all need encouragement. A few years ago, when we first moved into this building, I got an email. I've never gotten an email like this. I got an email where a lady, emailed me and said, basically, I've come to Cross Point each of the last 4 weekends, and I just sit in the parking lot, and I just watch people leave your church. I've got a lot of baggage. I don't really have much, many chances left to give church a shot. I'm just watching because I need a place that people walk out and they look joy-filled and encouraged. And she said, today I decided to walk in for the first time. I thought, oh my gosh. I think that's what Jesus had in mind, that people should be lifted up. When you're four people, they should be encouraged. And I just think it's awesome that, you know, we can design an experience and, you know, welcoming environment and so on. That it's hope-filled and fun, and people can, you know, many things Cam said. It felt like we had this warm hug that just kind of greeted us. That's amazing. But it's got to go deeper than that. It has to go deeper than just a great experience on a weekend, because we're really here to help you on your journey. It's not just what happens in this space. Next week, we're going to talk about churches way more than 65 minutes in an auditorium. But there's something that really matters. How do we help people on our journey? How do we help people find their way? How do we equip you in your journey? About a year ago, I went on a college visit with my son, a number of college visits, and one of them was to Butler University. He ended up at Butler. His sister goes to Butler. He had zero plan to go to Butler University until he went on a tour. And then we went on this tour, and he gets into it. He's like, "Oh my gosh, Dad, this is where I want to go." I'm like, "Right? Like, every time I go on a tour, it's dangerous. I tell you what, if you don't want your kids going to Butler, don't go on a tour, all right? Because like you get sucked in." And so we set up an appointment with the business department. He wants to study business, and we sit down with one of their hospitality kind of agents, and she walks us through kind of the Butler way, if you will, the plan of the blueprint for what you're going to experience in the Lacey School of Business, and what's going to happen in year one, and then what's going to happen in year two, and all the connections you're going to have the opportunity to have and make, and CEOs are going to mentor you, and you're going to have the chance to write resumes with other CEOs who are Butler alums, and they're going to network you in your area of interest. And I'm listening to all this going, oh my gosh, like, this is wishful thinking. It'd be amazing if just a fraction of this happens, except for the fact that I already have a kid that's in that department halfway through the program, and I'm watching it in real time develop her. And so if I heard once in that meeting, I heard it 20 times. This lady that was walking us through this program, she said, "Matt, you're going to have all these experiences every single year. They're going to prepare you for this experience, and most college students would love to have the experiences you're going to have at your fingertips, but you have to own your experience." I mean, you're going to have all these opportunities to network with, you know, with CEOs, former Butler alums who are changing the world and help you get into your industry and network you with potential employers. But at the end of the day, you got to own your experience. None of it will happen if you don't own your experience. And as I sat there, I thought, oh my gosh, this has spiritual like fibers all over it. And so as a result of that, I came home and we began to take some of the things we do that weren't as clearly articulated and began to put them together in just a kind of a plan that we feel might help. In fact, it's kind of called the Crosspoint Spiritual Roadmap. And if you've come to a recent Explore Crosspoint, you've received this. If not, you can take your phone out and scan the QR code there on the screen. You can scan it on the bottom of the screen at home. And it'll take you. You can download this document. And you're also, if you're in the room, you can pick one up on your way out. They're going to be at the doors when you leave. But this is something that helps us kind of get some self-awareness of where we are in our spiritual journey. We talk about a number of these things on a regular basis, that all of us fall into one of four categories, which you see there on the screen. We're either a seeker. We're somebody who's trying to figure out, is Jesus somebody I can trust with my life? Can I trust him as my Savior? Is he really who he says he is? And then once you receive that grace, you become a receiver. Once you begin to take that step of following Jesus, receive his grace, and begin to follow him, you become a receiver. And so some of us are at that point. And then you become a follower as you continue to implement his ways into your life, and you begin to apply his teachings and the things he calls us to and obey what he commands, not because he wants you to be a rule follower, but he just knows it makes us so much better at life. And we pass the BBYSS test, which is the "but because you said so" test, where you're like, "I don't fully understand this, Jesus, but because you say so, I trusted you this far, I'm going to trust you." And that's where like faith really takes off. That's when you become a follower. And then eventually, and this sometimes it's years in the following process, and then eventually you get to the sacrificial life, where when you're on that pathway, because this is like a path and your behaviors actually lead you somewhere, you eventually get to this place of the sacrificial life, where you're just like, "God, where to next? I've trusted you this far, and if you say this is where you need me, I'm going to go. If this is what you want me to do, I'm going to do that." And so in this you know, kind of roadmap, we realized, okay, what if we were to put some things in that kind of said, okay, if you want to get to this point, here's some things that you can experience or that help you move in these directions. They're not checklists. It's not a formula that if you just, you know, go through the boxes, it's going to get you there. But here's ways I can move to the next place spiritually. So I would just encourage you to download this or pick one up on your way out or at home, scan the QR code so you can experience this. Because some of these benchmarks, for instance, if you're a seeker, if you're here and you're just not sure Jesus who he says he is, first of all, we're glad you're here. Second of all, one of the best things you can do, and you'll see this on the roadmap, is just, you know, attend like 4 or 5 weeks in a row. Just continue to be here with people that are headed in a particular direction. In fact, we got the journey coming up, one of the most dynamic, you know, kind of expansive, immersive experiences we do all year in 2 weekends. I hope you'll maybe just spend like 6 weeks with us, just giving Jesus a shot as we explore your freedom and what he wants to bring to your life. You know, there's things like, you know, starting point classes that happen periodically, men's and women's events, which are restarting this fall. I mean, any of these things you want to be a part of, you can, these are just ways to get connected here and kind of figure out, okay, is Jesus who he says he is? Join in a group, join in a team. Again, ways to get around people that are heading in the same spiritual direction. And they want you to take the step to receive Jesus as your Savior, to begin to follow him as your Savior. You become a receiver. It's the gateway, if you will, to becoming a receiver. And then there's certain things once you get there that help you begin to grow to a new place. Things like reading a free book we give out to anybody who wants it. How good is good enough? You can let us know on your connection card if you'd like it. It's joining a volunteer team. It's, you know, it's joining a small group, being with people who are also going in the same direction, who can help model for you and answer questions for you on what it means to follow Jesus. And then the step to kind of, that really becomes a definitive factor to the following, becoming a follower, is when you take the step of water baptism, which is kind of an outward expression of that I've chose to follow Jesus. And I know it's kind of a weird thing, but there's something about when I say, okay, Jesus, I'm going to follow you in this. It's the very first thing Jesus asks us to follow him in. And we say, okay, if you say this is what you want me to do, Jesus, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to trust you because I'm going to trust that you know best. You know, it's in this phase, a lot of times people become partners around here at Crosspoint, where it's not just that they're in a consuming posture, but now it's like, okay, I want to bring back to others what has been brought to me and to my life, kind of like Cam said. I want to bring to others what I've been blessed with. It involves, you know, percentage giving, being active in a volunteer team, not just, hey, when it's convenient, but no, my life is about serving, so I'm going to be on a schedule regularly. I'm going to be in rhythms of blessing others. I'm going to be in, you know, small group community regularly, contributing to other people's experiences. You know, it's daily Bible reading and prayer. I mean, we recommend the Bible app. You know, you can always have a new study at your fingertips, scripture at your fingertips, just daily learning what God, you know, what he invites us into so we can continue to apply it to our life. And then over time, you move to this sacrificial life, where that pathway leads you to just more and more being in tune with God's heart. And when God says, hey, here's what's next, you're like, okay, God, I'm headed that way. It's pioneering new ministries. It's leading ministry teams. It's spiritually mentoring other people who are earlier in the faith process. It's sacrificially giving financially and sacrificially giving in my time. I'm going to tell you, I get overwhelmed with the people I see right now, sacrificially giving in so many ways to continue to make things happen around here. Overwhelmed. In fact, earlier this summer, one of our students who served back in Upstreet was hitting his graduation this past spring, and he's going on to play college sports, athletics, and so he had to report to campus early, and he was serving back with our elementary kids, and he had to be on campus like late June, and we reached out to him, our team reached out and said, hey, do you want us to take you off the serving schedule? It sounds like you're, you know, heading off to college, and he replied back and said, absolutely not, I'm going to be home on weekends. He said, I want to continue to build into those kids, I love serving those kids, and I think they kind of enjoy me. And I thought, man, here's an 18-year-old who had every opportunity to say, yeah, I'm done. I'm going off to do bigger and better things, playing college ball. He says, no, I want to continue to pour in to others. I was blown away by that. And I shouldn't have been. You know why I shouldn't have been? Because I sat across the street just a few weeks before that in an awards ceremony for a team that my son was on with him. And he got the team award because of the way he supported, encouraged, and championed his teammates and made them all better. And, you know, his life is a pathway, and he's going to do great things. And there's no wonder that his current team loves him because of the posture of I'm here for others. See, this is the end game of a life oriented around Jesus right here. The end game isn't more knowledge. Let me just get more and more spiritual knowledge. The end game isn't more and more worship experiences. It's a part of the medium of how we engage. The end game isn't more holy huddles. The end game isn't even, you know, sinning less or doing more moral things. That's not the end game. The end game is being for people and empowering and building up people and helping them find their way to experience their Heavenly Father in the same way we have. And many of you are here, just like Cameron and Savitri, because there's a community of people who are willing to say, hey, we're here to help you find your way to a God who loves and pursues you. And the most beautiful thing of it all is we're all invited into it. So what do we do? I want to give you a couple next steps this weekend as we wrap up. I want you to take out your phones, your devices. If you didn't start the connection card, go ahead and start that right now. If we could raise the house lights in case anybody needs to scan the QR code just for a moment. This is a moment where it's going to be easy to go, yeah, I'll do this later. Or if you're at home, to go, yeah, I'll dial in on this later. If you miss this moment, I guarantee you, you're going to get busy with other things. I think God wants to take each of us a step further this weekend. And so start on the connection card on page 2 of that, our next steps. And I just want you to think through, what's one step I can take this week? And perhaps for you, if you're newer to CrossPoint, tune in online, you know, you're just new to church, perhaps for you, it's just showing up, you know, next week and the week after, like 4 or 5 weeks consecutively, staying with us through the journey and just seeing if God doesn't begin to do something in your life. That's the best thing you can do. If you're somebody who's like, yeah, this is my home, CrossPoint's kind of my place, and you're not currently on a team anywhere around here, then I'd ask you to ask God right now, God, where do you want me to serve? Like, where do you want me to volunteer? The question isn't if. If is like, God, do you really think I should do this? This was at the core of his character, of what he wants to develop in us. I think the question is, God, where? And whatever comes to your mind, like, maybe that's where you start. If you're like, hey, I like that idea of giving a warm hug through coffee, then serve at the coffee bar. If it's saying, hey, I really, you know, gravitate toward kids, you know, sign up to serve in our kids. We'll give you the tools. If it's production, I mean, sign up to be on our production team. Third thing, you know, would you pray for the influence of our church? Would you pray for our staff, our leaders? You know, just like in every industry, there's a lot of burnout happening today. And it's hard to hire, just like it is in the rest of the world. We're in a very unique place. Pray for our leaders, our volunteer leaders, our staff, those who make things happen each and every week around. Pray for influence in our community. That, as Cameron said, the people that need to see there's a place for them will see that. Here's another step, and you can choose multiple, perhaps. Would you jump into Live Free, the small group? You know, groups are starting in 2 weeks and 6 weeks. I mean, if you're not a small group person, you've heard people say over and over, I wasn't a small group person, man, would you just consider it for 6 weeks? You can get on the ground floor of the place where you begin to see God work not only in your life, but you get to help God work in other people's lives. Another one is make a prayer list. Would you make a prayer list of people in your life that maybe would benefit from knowing Jesus? That you're just like, you know, like, I think Jesus could really take them to some new places. Your influence won't start if you don't have them on your heart. We have this thing called blessed practices. It begins with prayer. God, who do you want me to just be a blessing to today? Maybe it begins with just writing their name down. And then this last one, would you ask God to help you help one person to come to follow him in the upcoming 12 months? Just one person. God, would you give me the influence to just help one person see who you are, your character, and maybe take that step of faith to follow you? I mean, just imagine the privilege if God honored that prayer. And one day you're standing in heaven and somebody comes up to you and goes, oh my gosh, guess what? I'm here because of you. Thank you. Thank you. See, many of us, all of us, are here on the shoulders of someone else. And I just think God wants to continue to invite people in because of your life. There's something in here for all of us. Band's going to do a song. We taught this to you a couple weeks ago. It's called Gracefully Broken. It just reminds us that wherever we may be and what's going on in our life, God can actually use us. And so kind of is interesting, connect with that song the band did at the beginning from Bono and the Edge, We Are the People, where it talked about broken bells and a broken church. A heart that hurts is a heart that works from a broken place. If you feel like you're a bit broken, remember Jesus. She's like, hey, there's a place for you. From a broken place, that's where the victory is won. And so as you kind of listen to this song, I just encourage you to consider, okay, God, what is God calling? What's that deeper step God's calling me to take this week? And would you be willing to take it? Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, thank you for this moment, this time. Thank you for your incredible, scandalous grace that we don't deserve, that invites us in our kind of missing the mark moments when we want to do the right thing and we still boy, that invites us and gives us a place and a space to continue to work out our salvation. God, thank you for using us when we don't have it all together. Thank you for this place and the many people who continue to build and serve and help others experience you and help them find their way to you. And God, I just pray that you give each of us a little bit of a clearer picture on what that means for us to continue to carry that mantle forward. And so, God, I just know you want to take us to some deeper places and some more experiential places in our relationship with you. So even as we sit and listen and as we respond and we decide what our next step is this week, God, would you just move in our hearts and our lives this very moment?